Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Be'ezus Hashem Shalom Bayis, Shir number 428. Came across a book called Five-Step Action Plan to a Healthy, Happy and Healthy Marriage by a Rabbi Shlomo Slatkin. And he seems to be an organization called Marriage Restoration Project. And he's a certified Imago Relation Therapist. He has some fascinating ideas in this book on how to restore marriages, even marriages that are on the brink of divorce, to restore that, people that have relatively good marriages to make it much better, using different resources, skills, and tools. And like he says in the introduction here, in the back of the book, it says, much like a piece of priceless art can be restored after years of neglect, so too a marriage has the potential to be restored to its original connection. I would even say even beyond the original connection. And the concepts here are very clear. And if one follows through using this, it will be very likely that your marriage can be restored and healed. And it's something that is important to really focus on, because as we mentioned many times, unfortunately, the divorce rate in this country, in the world overall, has reached epidemic proportions. And it's very important to restore those relationships and reawaken the connection and to remove from people the marital crises that they have and that they feel. There's ways to protect yourself from toxic energy that's destroying the relationship between you and your spouse. And it's very, very important to take this seriously, recognize not to feel a yush, not to feel a despair, but rather take a tried and true action plan that will help you through. And they develop here five steps of how to do this. The first step is, we're going to go through them in detail. The first step is called commit. The second step is called seal your exits, which we're going to explain. But those two first steps is to shift your perspective and make your marriage going forward a priority, to refocus on your marriage, to bring energy back into your marriage relationship. Step three is called detox your marriage, and that teaches you how to remove counterproductive behaviors like negativity that undermines the connection between you and your husband or wife, and to create more safety in the relationship. Action step four is acknowledge the other, which is basically to learn skills of new ways to connect so that you understand each other more, that you feel more respected, you listen. And step number five is love infusions of how to bring the spark back into your marriage. And in this book, there's exercises, and we're going to go through some of these exercises. It's very important to follow them and apply what you learn, and that will bring the desired change in your relationship. Now, when you read or just listen without doing the exercises, it could be stimulating, it could be interesting, but in the end, you won't follow through. So it is important to do these exercises. And they don't have to be in this particular order. For example, step number five, which is the last step, which is love infusion, which means to appreciate and to care and to show that, you could do that right away. It doesn't have to be in this order. And then there's something called number three, which is detox your marriage. That takes probably more work because you have to go through different negative behaviors that you have to work on. So the idea is there is a logic that the steps follow this particular progression, but you will still benefit greatly by taking whichever step it is and working on that at this given time, even though the others you're not yet working on as strongly. But ultimately, you could implement all five of these action plans. It applies, of course, if both husband and wife are involved and try it together. But it works even if one of them is not willing to work. and one of them is, and that one spouse that is does this work. Because the idea is it's not about changing what's wrong in your spouse, but rather to take personal responsibility for your relationship. And usually what happens, and we said this so many times over the course of these shiurim, is that if you work on yourself, these changes that you make by working on yourself have a ripple effect, a positive ripple effect on your relationship. And your husband or wife is prone to change when you make those changes. So the idea is when you change yourself, you're changing your relationship for the better. When you show up in your relationship, when you take a deep look into yourself and you make a cheshbon ha-nefesh, and you, whether you're listening as a wife or as a husband, show up and begin to really work hard on what you need to work on, you will notice that your husband or wife's resistance lowers, their complaints go down. For example, a wife who would constantly ask her husband to do things for her, and she's faced with resistance. He just simply doesn't want to do it. When he would ask him, she would ask him something, he would not provide a straight answer, and he made excuses. So she took upon herself to take more responsibilities, to start cooking dinner, doing more laundry, jobs that her husband previously did, and something interesting happened. He was happier, he became more responsive, and over time he began to do more and more because he didn't feel threatened anymore or annoyed by her request, because he knew that by taking on the role of a homemaker, the wife had taken action to give him more space. So she changed, and not because of his complaints or because she felt she had to do it. She changed it from a healthy place within her that felt, you know, I need to work on certain things to grow myself. And when she did this, then these events triggered her to look at, wait, why am I avoiding these responsibilities in the past? And now I'm conscious of the resistance that I have in this particular example of doing certain home tasks. And then she made a decision in the best interest of her family, not just her husband, not just her children, but herself, to take more responsibility. And that changed, allowed her husband to change as well. I picked it a one-side example of the wife changing and influencing the husband, but it goes very much the opposite way too. When the husband begins to work on himself and his relationship with himself in relation to his spouse, and his wife will follow suit. So it is a two-way street, and either way, it's going to really enhance the relationship. So the first step is to commit. What does it mean to commit? Commitment issues are not just for people who are engaged, about to be married, or in the beginning of marriage. Studies show, which is a fascinating thing, what's the number one reason for divorce? Some people say it's money and financial things, and that is definitely high on the list. Some people say it's infidelity. That's also high on the list, unfortunately. But the primary one reason for divorce is a lack of commitment. You were committed to get married. You were in love, or you were motivated. It was easy. You may have been told marriage has its ups and downs, but you were blinded. You didn't see the reality at that time. You'll say, I know what marriages could be like, but we're different. We will not fight. We will have a good relationship. And now it's 5 years later, 10 years later, 20 years later, and you realize how right they were, that we weren't prepared for marriage. We pledged to love each other and to respect each other. In secular marriages or in the world, they use the term for better or for worse. But the truth is, the for worse, meaning when there's bumps in the road, we didn't commit. That means if you want to save your marriage, it's time to commit, to actually make a commitment. It's hard to wrap your mind around sometimes that you're married for 10 years, 15 years and more, and you didn't really commit to the marriage. Yeah, you go through the motions, you deal with what you have to do, but you didn't fully commit to the marriage relationship. And now is time to actually commit, to create that willingness and desire to go all in the relationship with your husband, with your wife. What does it mean to commit? Is You're committed by a combination of many things. You want to save your marriage. You want to dedicate it, the relationship. You want to make it a priority in your life. You want to start shifting your perspective in making that decision that your marriage comes first. Comes first beyond even your children, beyond your job, beyond everything else. Your marriage comes first, and you're willing to do what it takes to improve your marriage. And it needs to be based on healthy decisions that you'll be making and healthy attitudes that you will have. And this is really the key. This is action step one that I think that has to be in sequence. You need this before anything else. You need to make that decision to commit and to develop an attitude of commitment. And the question says, why should I do that? So we'll explain that too. Because couples that successfully get through crises, that thrive even after bumps in the road, are couples that commit to the marriage and to each other. We live in a disposable society. Marriage is like expendable, like a computer. You buy something and you'll have to replace it within a few years. But marriage is not a computer. It's not a car that you also have to replace after a few years. It doesn't work like that in marriage. It's a serious commitment that requires work. And it may seem easier to leave the relationship, but it's not easier to leave the relationship. The damage divorce can do is really devastating. And if, again, you follow through Rabbanim and you follow the path and you work to restore it and you get that hadracha, then you need to do what you need to do. But initially, like we said so many times, I don't know what the percentage exactly is, 85, 90, whatever it is, that marriages that could have been saved that weren't, that would have saved a lot of heartache. And that's your initial mode when the marriage is right now in a difficult situation. Not to contemplate divorce, but to contemplate restoring and being committed to that relationship. There's many reasons why you need to be committed to your marriage. There are constraints and personal dedication. Constraints means that there are things that keep us in a relationship even when things are not going well. Sometimes it's pressure from family and friends. Sometimes it's financial concerns. Sometimes it's the children. Sometimes it's a stigma people have of divorce and fear of the future. They are fear-based, but they help us from bolting when we have a rough time. Usually these reasons are not enough in the long run. Now, there are, again, exceptions to the rule. When you have hadracha from healthy people, where, let's say, one is married to someone that is toxic or a narcissist and it's not improving, those situations could very well be different, like we said, where you may have a fear of getting divorced because of stigma, because of children, and then you realize, but this is the only and best alternative. But again, it has to be with hadracha, with thought. But ultimately, until that happens, you go through the process of restoring, then these fear-based restraints have some value. But more than that constraint, you need actual dedication. What is a dedication? Dedication is a real desire to be together with your husband or with your wife. Even though right now things are bumpy and you're not crazy about each other now, to put it lightly. But nevertheless, you make a decision to make your relationship a priority and you're willing to sacrifice for the sake of the relationship. And when you have that dedication, you'll feel safer and you'll be more willing to give for that relationship to succeed. And we cannot be overwhelmed by the day-to-day challenges. You have to look at it as a long-term view. That's a very important concept also, because if you deal with the day-to-day, you get overwhelmed and you say, this is the no light at the end of the tunnel. In reality, if you look at it as a long-term view and you work on things little by little, plant seeds and start working, you will see a light at the end of the tunnel in the relative near future, and you'll grow tremendously. So it's understandable that right now you feel lousy about your marriage, so I don't feel like dedicating myself. But at least you have certain constraints that will help you commit. Number one is the devastating effects that divorce can have on children. Children of divorced parents are 50% more likely to get divorced themselves than children from unbroken homes. Studies have shown this. Divorce doubles the risk of social and emotional and psychological dysfunction. So when one is unhappy in the marriage and you're faced with two choices, number one is to stay in the marriage and try to work through it as best as you could and not harm the children that way. And that is a serious consideration. If a marriage is bumpy, people think that it's worse for the kids that you're together. But that's not the fact. It's despite the unpleasantness, it would be better as an intact family. You see this as studies of the collapse of the American family, especially in the inner cities where there's drug addiction and crime. And very, very little percentage of that is from people who grew up in a two-parent household. And that is very, very sad, but it's very true. Most of the crime and the serious crime in the inner cities, talking about the secular world, that are committed, the drugs, the robberies, and the worst crimes, are from people who grew up not in a two-parent home, usually missing a father figure. And this creates devastation. So therefore, yes, if a marriage is rocky and bumpy, it is very painful for the children. And that should be motivating too. We don't want to cause pain and traumatic events to take place for our children. And for that, it's kedai to work on the relationship and to make it better. And again, if you follow the proper path with healthy hadracha, with healthy direction, and then, you know, you go through a process and you can figure it out that you go your separate ways and your children won't get hurt. Sometimes that's necessary. We're not denying that. But your first initial reaction is to assume that 85, 90% of the time you work on things and it's better and more healing for the children to stay married, and it's better for yourselves ultimately. Remarriage also, there's a misconception about it. In the studies that 65% of second marriages end up in divorce. Second marriages with children are even more higher than 65% to get to the not work. Basically, you're subjecting your children to another divorce, most likely, or it's likely. And they themselves will divorce later in life. You know, when you have having step-parents shows that a spouse is expendable if it doesn't work out. And even if you stay married to your second spouse, there's still issues with step-families. And again, that's not to say that it shouldn't happen under certain circumstances. But obviously, we're talking now where marriage is bumpy and you're contemplating this. That's your last resort, not your first resort. Your first resort is to work through things. And then you have attorney issues and a high cost of divorce with divorce attorneys and Besdin fees and all these types of things, and which could make things even worse. And there's also this fantasy of always being able to find somebody better. You marry the wrong person and so on and so forth. And well, the truth is that's a fallacy. There are many second marriages. You could speak to therapists, married couples, therapists that handle married couples, that there are many, many second marriages that suffer with the same problems that were experienced in the first marriages because they didn't work on themselves and on a relationship overall, or what a healthy marriage is about. So the appeal over here in action step one, which we're going to continue to talk about in the next shiurim, is to commit in a healthy way to make a decision to work on the relationship. Obviously, ideally is if both of you, husband and wife, do this, but even if one of them is doing it right now, it is a very healthy thing. And we'll continue the Ezes Hashem in the upcoming shiurim to discuss these five steps and how it could bring simcha, kedusha, safety, stability, love, between a husband and a wife, even if right now they're suffering with bumps in the road and some estrangement, that things could heal and become tremendously improved, dramatically and tremendously, with a great amount of healing, if you commit to these actions to work on yourselves to better the relationship in your home. Bracha and hatzlacha.